Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading this morning is Genesis 22. We read the verses 1 through 14. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Dear friends, the story of Abraham offering up his son Isaac is without a doubt one of the most well-known stories in the entire Bible. It is the subject of many books, many sermons, and many Sunday school lessons, and for good reason. There is perhaps no other story in the Bible that captivates the imagination quite like this one. It is so clear and descriptive, you can almost picture the scene unfolding before your very eyes. But what does this story mean? What lessons is it designed to teach us? Is it just an interesting story? Or is there more here? Well, these are the questions we would like to try to answer in our sermon this morning. The theme for the sermon is Abraham's obedience tested by God. We will see that this test involved three things. First, a difficult requirement. Secondly, a believing response. And thirdly, an unexpected resolution. Our text opens by establishing the setting for the events that follow. We read in verse 1, After these things. This, of course, raises the question, what things are being referred to here? Well, most likely, this refers to the events of the previous chapter, chapter 21. Chapter 21, you recall, contains the account of the birth of Isaac, the expulsion of Ishmael, and the covenant which Abraham made with Abimelech. It is especially the last event, the covenant which Abraham made with Abimelech, which sets the stage for the events of our text. As a result of this covenant, Abraham enjoyed a lengthy period, some say 26 years, of peace and stability. During this time, Abraham devoted himself to teaching Isaac his son about God and the world that he had created. He spent all of his time preparing Isaac for the task that awaited him as the head of God's chosen people. And now, after all these things, in particular, after all this training and preparation, the Lord administered a test. The test is described in verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or we could perhaps better translate that word as try, God did try Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. How shocked Abraham must have been to hear those words. Just when everything seemed to be going so well, the Lord comes to Abraham and commands him to offer up his son as a burnt offering. Matthew Henry says that each word, each phrase that the Lord spoke to Abraham was like a knife that pierced him to the very bone. Look at what God says here. Take thy son. Yes, thy son. Not a servant, not a ram or a goat or a bullock, but thy son. And not just any son, but thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Why does God specify Isaac? Well, because Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. By this time, Ishmael was living in the wilderness of Paran. He was banished, you recall, from his father's house together with Hagar, his mother. That meant, of course, that Abraham had only one son left, Isaac. This was the son that Abraham was to take and offer as a burnt offering. Not Ishmael, but Isaac. Yes, Isaac. Isaac who brought Abraham and Sarah such joy in their old age. Isaac on whom Abraham had pinned all of his hopes. Isaac who would be the forerunner of the promised Messiah. Isaac, whom thou lovest. This son Abraham was to take and offer as a burnt offering on a mountain in the land of Moriah. Now, some commentators have suggested that in commanding Abraham to sacrifice his son, God was merely communicating to Abraham in terms which he could understand. You see, human sacrifice was not uncommon in the land of Canaan during the days of Abraham. Several of the heathen nations that lived there practiced it. Therefore, so the theory goes, when God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son, Abraham agreed, believing that God was asking him to perform what the people at the time believed was the ultimate act of worship. But dear friends, this theory is complete nonsense. For at no time did God demand human sacrifice as an act of worship. God is not a bloodthirsty God like the gods of the heathen. He is good and kind and gracious. He would never demand that human beings who were created in His image and for His glory be sacrificed as an act of worship. But if that is so, why then did He command Abraham to sacrifice his son? Well, not as an act of worship, but as a test of his obedience. One commentator writes, God did not intend the loss of Isaac's blood, but the trial of Abraham's obedience. It was a test. God was seeking to test Abraham, and as we'll see in a moment, also Isaac's love for him. Having said that, what God was commanding Abraham to do here was very difficult indeed. For one thing, how could God command Abraham to commit murder? Did God not forbid murder? Did He not say to Noah, Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed? How then could God command Abraham to do that which He Himself had forbidden? Secondly, how could God command Abraham to murder his own son? Well, it's one thing to murder someone you do not know, but it is quite another to murder your own flesh and blood, and then to offer him up as a burnt offering. Matthew Henry says, Must the father of the faithful be the monster of all fathers? Thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, how could God command Abraham to murder his son and still be faithful to his promise? Did he not say to Abraham, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called"? But what would come of that seed if Isaac should be killed? How would the seed ever be born? And how would the Messiah ever enter into the world? Yes, there were many problems, many difficulties surrounding God's command to Abraham. And therefore, we may well wonder, how would Abraham respond? Well, let's take a look at that under our second point. Incredibly, in spite of the difficulties which God's command posed to him, Abraham obeyed. We read in verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. After 3 days, they arrived at the place to which God had directed him. And then we read in verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. As they made their way to the top of the mountain, Isaac asked Abraham a heart-rending question. "My father," he said. "Here am I, my son," said Abraham. And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Oh, how this question must have pierced Abraham's heart. Imagine having to conceal such a terrible secret from your own flesh and blood. But Abraham had no choice. You see, if he told Isaac the truth from the beginning, he might never go through with it. Isaac might have offered up some resistance, something which Isaac, who was a full-grown man at this time, was quite capable of doing. And so, in response to Isaac's question, Abraham simply says, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Now, Abraham's answer here could be interpreted in one of two ways. It is possible that Abraham was simply avoiding the question. He simply did not want to tell Isaac that he was to be the lamb for a burnt offering. And so he made it sound like the Lord would miraculously cause a lamb or some other animal to cross their path, and they would sacrifice it instead. It is also possible that he was expressing his hope that God would indeed provide a lamb so that he would not have to sacrifice his son. But whatever the case, at long last, they arrived at the place where Isaac was to be sacrificed. With a heavy heart, Abraham began to build the altar, most likely assisted by his own son. After building the altar, he laid the wood in order. And still no lamb had appeared. Then finally the time came for Abraham to tell Isaac the shocking news, that he was to be the lamb for a burnt offering. We do not know what Abraham said on this occasion. The Bible doesn't tell us. But whatever he said, you can be sure it was accompanied by much anguish and many tears. And the amazing thing is that Isaac agreed. We do not read anywhere in the text that he offered up any kind of resistance. Instead, he willingly submitted himself to the will of God. He even allowed himself to be bound. This is very striking. Sometimes when preaching or teaching this story, we focus too much, I think, on Abraham. We extol Abraham for his amazing faith, and indeed we should. But what about the faith of Isaac? How many of us would do what Isaac did? How many of us would willingly submit to be put to death by their own father? And yet he did. He allowed himself to be offered to the Lord as a burnt offering. What faith! Well, at last the time came for Abraham to kill his son. After laying him gently on the altar, we read in verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, when you read this, you cannot help but ask yourself, had Abraham lost his mind? Was he actually going to do what God had commanded him? Was he actually going to sacrifice his own son? Well, these are difficult questions to answer. They are made all the more difficult because the Bible does not reveal what Abraham was thinking at that moment. Nevertheless, it is not difficult to figure out. We must remember that by this time, Abraham had considerable knowledge of God and of his character. After all, he had walked with him for over 50 years. And if Abraham knew anything about God, he knew that God was not a liar. After all, whatever God had said to him had come to pass. God promised to bring him into a land that he did not know, and he had. He promised to protect, guide, and bless him, and he had. He promised to give him and Sarah a son, and he had. Everything the Lord had promised had come to pass. But now the Lord commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son, even though he said that in Isaac would his seed be blessed. But since God cannot lie, this could only mean one thing, that the Lord was going to raise him from the dead. Yes, Abraham believed that God would raise his son from the dead. That is the clear teaching of Holy Scripture. In Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, we read these words. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Clearly Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. When he came to this realization, we do not know. I suspect it was sometime during the journey. Remember, Moriah was 3 days' journey from Beersheba. Abraham had 3 days to mull the situation over in his mind. And at some point it must have dawned on him, God was going to raise Isaac from the dead. That this is the case is borne out by what we read in verse 5 of our text chapter. There we read that after arriving at the place where Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham said to his servants, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Yes, even before Abraham arrived at the place of sacrifice, he was absolutely certain that God would raise Isaac from the dead. He was so sure of it that he says to his servants, I and the lad will come again to you. What a display of faith. Abraham had no basis to believe that God would raise Isaac from the dead. God had never said that in so many words. Nor had such a thing ever happened before. And yet he believed that this is what would happen. Dear friends, that is faith. Faith is, as we read in Hebrews 11, verse 1, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith believes things that cannot be verified with the senses. It is a simple, childlike trust in the Lord. It is simply taking God at His word and believing that no matter what, even if I do not understand it all, everything will work together for good. Abraham had that kind of faith. My friends, do you have that kind of faith? Do you have the kind of faith that simply takes God at His word and trusts in Him no matter what? Sad to say, that kind of faith is rare nowadays. Most people today, and perhaps that is true of some of you listening to my voice this morning, want to see some proof before they will believe. Yes, like the Jews of old, they want to see a sign, something that will convince them that what God says is true and real and for them. But not Abraham. Abraham trusted in God when everything was against him. He believed not in the light of the evidence, but rather in the absence of it. And it is for that reason that he is called the father of faith. And so we see that Abraham responded to this trial in faith. Now, what was the outcome of this trial. We look at that under our third and final point. Just as Abraham was about to plunge his knife into Isaac's breast, something amazing happened. A voice, probably that of the pre-incarnate Christ, called out from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him." Oh, how glad Abraham must have been to hear these words. Isaac, his only son Isaac, whom he loved, does not have to die after all. And then the voice continued, "Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." At last the meaning of this whole episode becomes clear. The whole thing was a test, you see, a test of Abraham's love for God. By means of this test, the Lord sought to know whether Abraham loved him more than anything else in the world, even more than his own son. Well, dear friends, what about us? Do we love God like Abraham did? Matthew Henry writes, "The best evidence of our fearing God is our being willing to serve and honor him with that which is dearest to us, and to part with all to him or for him." What he means is this: if we really fear God, if we really love God, we will be willing to part with anything, even the things we hold dear. Now, to be sure, the Lord is not asking us today to sacrifice our sons and daughters on an altar. But he may be asking us to sacrifice other things: our money, our popularity, our social standing, our reputation, our time. Young people, he may be asking you to stop hanging out with certain friends, stop listening to certain kinds of music, stop watching certain shows on television, stop going to certain places, break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend who does not fear the Lord. Are you willing to do that for the Lord? This is the ultimate test to determine whether we really love and fear God as we say we do. If we really love and fear the Lord, we will be willing to part with anything, even the things we hold most dear. Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." The words of our Lord are clear. We must be ready and willing to give up everything for the sake of following Christ. To be sure, that's not easy, but it must be done. This is what the Lord calls us to, and if we are his disciples, we will do it. But this is not the end of the story. After receiving commendation by the Lord, Abraham looked up and saw something in a nearby bush. It was a ram, caught by its horns in the branches. And the thought suddenly occurred to him: this ram was provided by the Lord as a substitute for Isaac. And so Abraham, most likely with the help of his son, killed this ram and offered it up as a burnt offering to the Lord. What we have here, friends, is a picture of the doctrine of the substitutionary atonement. The ram, you see, took the place of Isaac on the altar. As such, the ram points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important to see this. Often sermons on this story will portray Isaac as a type of Christ and Abraham as a type of the Father, so that just as Abraham took the knife to kill his son, so the Father put his son to death on the cross. And so the application is made that whereas Abraham did not have to kill his son, the Father did. And because he did, we sinners can be saved. Now, there is, of course, some truth to this. But the real type of Christ in this story, friends, is not Isaac, but it is the ram. For it was the ram that was sacrificed. Isaac was set free. Do you see the parallel? As fallen sons and daughters of Adam, all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, deserve to die. We are all like Isaac, lying bound on top of the altar, ready to be killed. But just as the sentence of death is about to be pronounced, a ram appears, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And as the Lamb of God, he comes, as it were, over to the altar. With one hand he withholds the hand of God's judgment, which is lifted up, ready to plunge the knife of his judgment into our bosom, and with the other he gently lifts us off the altar. And then he lays himself on the altar, and lets the hand of God's judgment fly. Child of God, this is what Christ did for you. He was your substitute. He took upon himself the judgment due to us for our sins, so that we could live and not die. And now, to commemorate all this, and to encourage future believers, Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Literally, the Hebrew word here means the Lord will see, or the Lord will see to it. Hence, this word is often translated as the Lord will provide. And now we see that the Lord did indeed provide. He provided a ram to sacrifice in the stead of Abraham's son Isaac. And so, to commemorate the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord, Abraham named the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Interestingly, this is the same place where the temple once stood hundreds of years later. And so the slaughter of tens of thousands of animals took place on the exact same spot where Abraham sacrificed the ram. Thousands of years after that, on a nearby hill, overlooking this very same spot, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. And so we see how this story, though interesting in itself, serves an important purpose in the history of redemption. It serves to direct us to Christ and to his all-sufficient sacrifice on the cross of Golgotha. Its message is the same as that of the Gospels written thousands of years later. Christ died to take away the sins of his people. This is the Gospel in a nutshell. It is this Gospel that I may proclaim to you again this morning. And now I must ask, what is your response to this Gospel? Will you believe it with your whole heart? Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and look to him as your only substitute? Or will you reject it? Oh, blessed are all they who believe on his name and who are covered in his righteousness. They shall not be put to shame, but they will live for all eternity. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful, Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It is always a great encouragement to us when we hear from our listeners. If you have been blessed by the message which you have heard this morning, or would like a free CD of the message, please write to The Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. Or you can call me direct at area code 403-553-3400. For your information, these messages are now being posted on the Internet. Enter www.sermonaudio.com in your search engine and follow the links. Again, we thank you for listening. And until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth. For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 2:30, in Lacombe at 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth.